In today's world, many of us wear eyeglasses or contacts in order to see the things of this world more clearly. Now, I can see all of y'all wonderful and fine. I can see back yonder in the corner, whatever, not a problem. But when I come to read this or this, it gets a little fuzzy. But guess what? Look at there, Eureka. I can see things a little more differently, a little more defined. Today in the letter to the church at Philippi, it is clear that the Apostle Paul has but only one filter through which to understand the Christian life. And that filter is Jesus Christ. He is the one who came and humbled Himself in order for us to have life and have life eternal. The disciple class and myself are reading a lot about the Apostle Paul. And some of the things that we are reading, I have on the Tuesday nights, which we're not meeting this Tuesday, we're meeting the next Tuesday, but this past Tuesday was interesting, and the past two has been every time they come in, and they, last week, their expression of what we read was, OMG, oh my God, and wow. Because Paul is a bit out there. He's a bit vocal. He's a bit loud. He's a lot like Peter. He says things and he just... But here he's saying something that is really wow that we should listen to. That the filter that we all go through and we all look to and we all should focus on is Jesus Christ. The one who came, the one who humbled himself in order that you and I can have life and have it eternal. It's one of the most impressive passages in the Bible. Paul describes the career of Jesus in unforgettable language. The rhythmic form of these verses suggests that they may have been taken from a hymn of the early church, which served as a brief confession of faith. We say confessions of faith. We have recited the Lord's Prayer today and the Apostles' Creed. We say things that we believe in. There's things within the Bible, lots of times, that are songs, that are hymns, that are confessions before God. The words of this text today serve as a rehearsal and a reminder of the way members of the church are to live, how we're supposed to live our lives. In the same way we use creeds in worship, from ancient words focused and formed, and they form the congregation's life as if they had worshiped upon it. The formula expressed in these brief verses is dramatic. In contrast to Adam, who sought to be equal to God, and we find that in Genesis 3:5, that Adam was to be equal with God. We see one who refused to snatch an equality with God. Instead, Jesus says, I put myself out, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Jesus humbled himself even more, becoming obedient unto death. Therefore, Paul cries out in verse 9 here of Philippians, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. That this is the Christ. This is the Christ whose spirit that we all must share. This is the Lord to whose authority every knee must bow, every tongue confess. To be identified with Christ in humility and obedience is the noblest dignity to which any person can aspire. Paul gave his life to following this one Christ, who became obedient unto death and taught that Jesus' example is the filter through which we define all true discipleship. You see, the passage begins with a call to have the same mind. Wow. To have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus Himself. It is a call for deliberate living. You know, when we say that, if we pray that, if we ask God for that, to have the mind of Christ, to have the same mind, it calls us to do something. It causes us to change, that we are to be deliberate about how we live our life. And as we begin the journey of Holy Week, these words remind us that discipleship is always born out of intention. We are those who know that our will is greater than God, You see, how can we allow our will to be the greater will of God? How can our will be the greater will of God, that we want to be like Christ, that we want to be have that mind, that we want to think? Not to be a greater person by no means, but to have that same mind. For those who walk faithfully through the drama of this coming week, the journey's going to be a little hard for some people. It should be a little hard for all of us. It should be a little hard to think. There will be a strange drama of the table on Maundy Thursday. When we gather here, we're going to break bread and we're going to share the cup as an offering of body and blood on behalf of the world. We're going to join together. We're going to have a table down here and we're going to have chairs around, and y'all are going to come to the table. And you're going to come together on Thursday night. We're going to break bread. Then there is the darkness of Good Friday's crucifixion and all the agony that goes with it. It is a difficult journey. Is it any wonder that congregations are less present on these days than they are on Palm Sunday and Easter? You know, today, as when Scott came up and they told me the number, whenever Rob told me the number of how many was here today, and Scott said, well, we broke 60 today, thank God. We're 82 today. Because we've kind of got in that pattern here lately that all of a sudden 55, 58, 60, 62 has been about it for a while. Why? When I see a lot of people all the time that are in other places all the time. And they'll say, oh, I'll be there, I'll show up. I'll see you after a while. We really like everybody. We like you. We like the church. Everybody's fine, but there's just other things that take our attention. But we have the mind of Christ. It seems strange in a world that embraces self-improvement as a way to happiness. Yet the testimony of the church is that this mind is a way to glory. It is the disciples' challenge to cultivate the mind of Christ until you and I begin to see the world through the filter of Christ's example and to know that His way is the way to true life. The words of the prayer of St. Francis capture the essence of living, the mind of Christ. When St. Francis says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. As we embark upon the journey of Holy Week, let us be deliberate in nurturing the mind of Christ, through which all truth we can know. Let us pray.